Hello, this is Dick Hayden from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I shall be reading to you from Spare Times, the news and notes of the Rally Outlaws of June 14, 2019 by Ginger Rush. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and has been edited for currency, clarity, and time constraints. Well, let's get right underway. The Brighter Path Tournament information. IFB Solutions of Winston-Salem, formerly Industries for the Blind, and the Brighter Path Foundation of Winston-Salem are hosting their 6th annual bowling tournament at Creekside Lanes, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, June 22, 2019. We are inviting all leagues to attend. Creekside Lanes is located at 1450 Trademark Boulevard in Winston-Salem, zip code 28658. Registration begins at 9 a.m. And ends at 9:30 a.m. Bowling begins at 10 a.m. Please bring along as many rails as your league may need. The cost of the tournament is $30. You may bring monies the day of the tournament. No checks, please. If you have any questions, please call Chris Flint, F-L-Y-N-T, at 336-245-5620, or Jerry Mintz, M-I-N-T-Z, at 336-391-0054. Please send all entry forms and money to Forsyth Blind Bowlers, care of Jerry Mintz, P.O. Box 17101, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27116. Outlaws, we will collect entry money and a $20 transportation fee the morning of the tournament before we leave. Participants traveling to Winston-Salem should meet at the J.C. Park at 6:30 a.m., and our vehicles will depart promptly at 6:45 a.m. We will stop briefly in Burlington for breakfast before traveling to Creekside Lanes in Winston-Salem, and we anticipate a dinner stop probably in Burlington at Harbor Inn on the way home. Please note, if something happens that I cannot go, we will probably would not have a driver available from the city. I will notify everyone if that happens. I don't expect a problem, but my schedule is still tentative for Saturday at this point. The annual CBA summer meeting is set for Saturday, June 29 at the home of Lonnie and Anita Cunningham, 1007 Ash Street. We will begin the meeting at 10 a.m. and conclude with a picnic lunch and social time following the session. Outlaws wishing to attend should let Ginger know by Saturday of next week. We will depart from the JC Center at 8 a.m., driving nonstop to Greensboro. The Outlaw Picnic is tentatively scheduled for July 20, and right now we are planning to use Sharon B's backyard as the location. Please also hold July 27th. If the weather was forecast to be bad on the 20th, we will move to the following week. Stand by for further details regarding time and etc. Practice anyone? Letitia Adams is organizing weekly practice sessions on Tuesday night at the Alley, beginning at 7. Call her at 919-576-3825 and let her know if you are coming so she can make sure there are enough lanes and rails available. The National Tournament Wrap-Up. Of course, we don't have any results as yet, but it sounds like all who went to Pittsburgh for the ABBA National Tournament had a great time. Congratulations to Joy Spencer, who was elected ABBA President, Fred Nickel, who was elected First Vice President, and Tanya Wilson, who was elected Second Vice. Rosella Campbell and Sandy McDaniel continue to serve as Secretary Treasurer and Tournament Director, respectively. We look forward now to the 2020 National in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky. Prayer requests. Please continue to remember Mike Rush. He's now home, but we'll need more outpatient diagnostics to determine the underlying cause of his issues. He is also now on dialysis 3 days a week. Please also continue to remember Bonnie Merritt as she continues to deal with her health issues, and Roscoe as he cares for her. The Outlaws and friends would like to express our condolences to the family of Mrs. Eleanor Hennis. For those of us who attended the Governor Moorhead School, God has called another one of our family members home. Mrs. Eleanor Hennis went home to our father last week. Her obituary is as follows. Eleanor Settlemeyer Hennis, July 1, 1930 to June 5, 2019. Eleanor Settlemeyer Hennis, age 88, of Cary, passed away on Wednesday, June 15, at her home. Eleanor was born to the late Guy and Emma Settlemeyer on July 1, 1930, in Atlanta, Georgia. Eleanor earned her degree at Appalachian Teachers College. While there, she met the love of her life, William M. Hennis, Jr. Eleanor and Bill were married on April 4, 1953, in Drexel, North Carolina. After living briefly in several other towns, Eleanor and Bill purchased their new home in Cary in 1962, where together they raised three sons. Cary became their home, and they never moved out of town. Eleanor spent the majority of her professional life teaching at the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind in Raleigh. Eleanor attended the White Plains United Methodist Church for more than 50 years. She was a longtime member of the Pathfinders class. She was also active in the Cary Garden Club and took several book clubs. Eleanor volunteered at the Dorcas Ministries and was a docent at the North Carolina Art Museum. She loved painting, reading, writing, arranging flowers, and helping others. Eleanor and Bill enjoyed traveling together. The inseparable pair visited Alaska, Hawaii, the Grand Canyon, Europe, and most of the 50 states, along with frequent trips to their Pine Knoll Shores condominium. In addition to traveling, Eleanor collected pop-up books and kaleidoscopes. She shared these collectibles with family, friends, and guests, and it brought her immense joy. However, through it all, Eleanor is remembered as a wonderful wife, mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. There was always a sparkle in her eyes when she was surrounded by her family. Eleanor was preceded in death by her husband of 63 years, William McKinley Hennis, Jr. Eleanor is survived by three sons, William McKinley III of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with his wife Rachel Day, David of Miami, Florida, and Michael of Kernerville, North Carolina, and his wife Sharon. She is also survived by four grandchildren, Daniel, Matt, and Kara Hennis of Port Charlotte, Florida, and Morgan Shaw of Kernersville, North Carolina, and her husband, Kevin Shaw, and one great-granddaughter, Emma Grace Shaw. The funeral service will be held at the White Plains United Methodist Church, 313 Southeast Maynard Road in Cary. And a reception followed in the church's Christian Life Center. Arrangements were under the care of the Brown Wind Funeral Home in Cary. In lieu of flowers, the family requested donations be made to the White Plains United Methodist Church. And in the category of killing two birds with one stone, the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind is sponsoring a blood drive on Saturday, June 22 at the Brooks Avenue Church of Christ, 700 Brooks Avenue in Raleigh. The drive will be from 10 until 3. You can feel good about helping with the summer blood shortage experience this year, and in doing so, you will receive a $10 Walmart gift card. In addition, a $10 donation will go to the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind. Contact persons for more information are Lawrence Carter, 919-649-5915, and Eric Dixon, 984-269-2298. Here's a link that will take you directly to the sign-up page at the Raleigh Wake Council of the Blind Blood Drive. Anyone in need of candy and nuts from Terry Lynn Company can order these products year-round from the online store and still benefit the ABBA. That link is https://AmericanBlindBowling.TerryLynnCares.com. The Sightly Warren Thrift Store is now open Thursday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Donations are also accepted each week during business hours. At this time, they are not accepting any clothing, mattresses, bed pillows, non-working appliances, televisions, VCRs, printers, or computer accessories. But other than these items, though, let's get the old treasures out and make room for the new. Time to talk about the 20th Annual Sunshine Invitational Blind Bowling Tournament. According to Sandy McDaniel, 115 Powell Boulevard, Apartment 14102, Daytona, Florida, 32114. Dear League Secretary, she writes, the Daytona Beach Blind Bowlers would like to invite the bowlers in your league to participate in the 20th Sunshine Invitational Blind Bowling Tournament, the SIBB. And this is going to be held in Daytona Beach, Florida. It will be held over the Labor Day weekend, Friday, August the 30th through Sunday, September the 1st. We have invited bowlers from within the United States who are members of the American Blind Bowlers Association, the ABBA. However, to participate in the tournament, you do not have to be a member of any association, and sighted family members and friends are welcome to bowl. SIBB is designed to promote the blind bowling program by introducing new bowlers to its many benefits while providing seasoned bowlers with competition that is challenging and fun. The fun begins Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. with the meet-and-greet hospitality get-together. The registration desk will be located there as well, and you will be able to pick up your schedule at this time. This will be an opportunity for you to make new bowling friends and reunite with the old ones. As always, there will be plenty of cheer and plenty of food and lots of good company, too. So don't miss out on all the Southern hospitality. Saturday morning at 9 a.m. will be a team event, followed in the afternoon at 1 p.m. by a 9-pin no-tap tournament that will be a fundraiser for the Halifax Council of the Blind, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. On Saturday evening, we will have a banquet to celebrate our 20th anniversary. It will be held in the Dolphin Room. We will have a cash bar and a DJ for your entertainment. So come and join us and help celebrate our 20th. Anyone that comes to the banquet will have three tickets in the drawing for an SIBB t-shirt quilt donated and made by Noni, Virginia, slightly. If you cannot attend the banquet, you can purchase tickets for $5 each or three for $10. Sunday morning at 9 a.m. will be the singles and doubles event. On Sunday evening, we will have a hospitality room, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and we will have food and drinks available. This will be held in the Cobia Room, C-O-B-I-A. Throughout the weekend, we will display several gift cards for a raffle on Sunday evening. You will be able to buy raffle tickets during the hours that the hospitality room is open. All proceeds from this raffle will help pay hospitality room expenses. We will also have T-shirts available for sale at $25 each. If you would like to reserve a T-shirt, please include the sizes, and we will have them for you at the tournament. New hotel information. Note this. Reservations can be made at the Daytona Beach Resort, 2700-2700, that is, North Atlantic Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32118. Daytona Beach Resort is a luxury resort with condo-style rooms located in the north end of Daytona Beach. The resort is just steps away from the Atlantic Ocean. The rates are $100 per night for a beach view studio, or $119 per night for a beachfront studio plus 12.5% sales tax. For reservations, call 800-654-6216 and use group code DBBBOWL. That's like DBB Bowl, DBBBOWL, to receive the special group rate. Reservations must be made by July 31st, 2019. All rooms have kitchens and microwaves and a coffee maker with complimentary coffee. They also have two oceanfront pools and a children's waterfall pool, plus an indoor heated pool, jacuzzis, fitness center, and a steam sauna. Reflection Restaurant and Lounge serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the Reef Bar Oceanfront Tiki Bar has poolside dining. We will be bowling at Ormond Lanes at 260 North U.S. Highway 1, Ormond Beach, Florida, 32174. The phone number is 386-672-2014. Here's what the bowling events will be. The team doubles and singles, all, and the registration fee is $70. 9-pin no-tap fundraiser, $20 each. Airport transportation. For those of you who may wish to fly into Orlando International Airport, Orlando, Florida, contact Daytona Orlando Transit Services, Inc., 1034 North Nova Road, Daytona Beach, Florida, 386-257-5411 or 1-800-231-1965. Daytona Orlando Transit Services provides visitors with scheduled transportation to and from Orlando airports daily. Shuttles are shared rides scheduled every 2 to 3 hours. Unless you make special arrangements with them, you will be dropped off at the office location above, which is about 5 miles from the hotel. If you have four or more people in your group, they will drop you off at the hotel at no extra charge. But you must specify this when you call. Call them for pricing information. For those of you who want to fly into the Daytona Beach International Airport, that airport is about 8.5 miles from the hotel. Taxis are available to the ground at the ground transportation area. After deplaning, descend to the first floor and turn right into bag claim. After claiming your bags, continue out the door at the end of the building to obtain a taxi. The 9-pin no-tap bowling event. Can't get enough bowling in during the tournament? We have a solution to your problem. The Daytona Beach Blind Bowlers will hold a 9-pin no-tap event to benefit the Halifax Council of the Blind, which is an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. This will take place on Saturday afternoon, September 1st at 1 p.m. at Ormond Lanes. Blind and sighted bowlers are welcome to participate. There will be cash prizes. The entrance fee is $20, and this includes three games of nine-pin no-tap bowling. Why not come in and join us for some good competitive bowling fun while supporting a very worthwhile cause? For those wishing to participate, payment may be included with your tournament check. There is also a form in the packet to fill out if you are interested in participating in this event. For further information about the tournament, you may contact Mary Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N, at 386-212-9496 or email Sandy, M-C-D-A-N, 01, Sandy McDan, 01, at yahoo.com. We hope that you will be able to join us for a fun-filled Labor Day weekend in Daytona Beach. We are looking forward to seeing those of you who have joined us in past years and welcoming new guests to Daytona Beach this year. More information on the 20th Sunshine Invitational Blind Bowling Tournament. The purpose of SIBB is to promote an interest in blind bowling. Participation is by invitation. Averages to be used for this tournament will be the book of average, the book average of ABBA, ABC, and WIBC. Bowlers who do not have any of these averages can establish their average after the games in the tournament, teams, doubles, and singles. The handicap to be used in this tournament will be 100% of 200. A four-person team must have a totally blind bowler or equivalent, partially sighted bowler with an average of 120 or less. The remainder of the team may consist of any bowlers entering the tournament, but not to exceed more than two sighted bowlers. There is only one division for each event. A two-person team must have at least one totally blind bowler or equivalent, that is, partially sighted bowler with an average of 120 or less. There is only one division for each event. Cash prizes for team doubles singles events will be one prize for each 10 entries. All events will be one prize for each 10 entries. All ABC, WIBC, and ABBA rules will be observed. The foul light will be on for all competitions. Bowlers will alternate lanes in each event. Bowlers who arrive late may make up frames, provided that two frames have not been completed. If two frames have been completed, the bowler will not bowl that game, and a score of minus 10, their average, will be used for that game. They can bowl the remaining games. In the event that a bowler cannot bowl and a qualified replacement cannot be found, a score of minus 10, their average, will be used. If a team has a vacancy, no qualified bowler available, the team will use a score of 120 for each game. So, entry fee breakdown for each of the three events. Bowling fee $10, prize fund $5. Expenses $4, all events $1. Registration fee $10, everyone that will participate in the bowling events and guests that would like to come and join us in the hospitality room will be required to pay this. Total entry fee $70. Reminder, closing entry date August 10, 2019. Make your checks payable to SIBB Tournament Fund. Mail the checks and completed entry forms to Sandy McDaniel, 115 Powell Boulevard, Apartment 14102, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114. And make your hotel reservation by July 31, 2019. Call 800-654-6216 using the group code DBBBOWL. The hotel, 2700 North Atlantic Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32118. And their web address, www.daytonabeachresort.com. Next up, the 2019 GMSAAI Convention. We are pleased to announce the annual GMSAAI Convention Reunion. This year's convention reunion event will be held August the 2nd through 4th, 2019. We will be staying at the Ramada Inn at 1520 Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh. Room rates are $80.62 per night. Please call the hotel directly at 919-832-4100 and ask for the NCGMSA block. The hotel does not offer shuttle service, so you will need to arrange your own ride to and from the train or bus station. The last day to book your room is July 25. Pay-as-you-go arrangements can be made by contacting the hotel sales manager, Kevin, at 919-832-4100 and ask for extension 7700. The theme for Saturday Night Social is Second Chance Prom, and the dress code is semi-formal attire. Don't rent a tuxedo, but do dress to impress. Friday night will be School Spirit Night, and if you have your GMS AAI t-shirt, please bring it along with you to wear on Friday night. We will have fun games, music, bingo, and trivia. Contact Tamika O'Kelly with any suggestions or requests, which are always welcome. Her address, her email address is tamikaokelly@yahoo.com. We ask that all paid members bring one new item that can be used as a door prize. And we look forward to seeing everyone in August. Here's some 2019 convention registration fee options. $50 lifetime members or those who have paid current annual dues. $65 convention registration plus annual dues of $15 if paid by June 1st. That's no longer an option. Unfortunately, we've passed June 1st. In the event of, $75 convention registration plus annual dues of $15 if paid after June 1. If paid after July 15th, please add an additional $10. And $85 is the convention registration fee for visitors who are not members. You may complete your registration online by going to the GMS AAI website at the following link, http://gmsaai.org/convention-form, with payment by PayPal or debit card or credit card. You may also mail your registration with payment to GMS AAI P.O. Box 46808, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27620. If you are mailing your registration, please be sure to include your name, mailing address, phone number, email address, preferred version of the program, print or braille, and whether or not you'd like to be in the talent show on Saturday. If you do not plan to attend the entire weekend, there are some options available to pay for separate events. For example, $30, the Friday dinner and entertainment only. You can pay at the door or by mail only. $30 for the Sunday luncheon only, pay at the door or by mail only. Or $30 for the Saturday night dance and refreshments only, pay at the door or by mail only. Note, registration for less than the entire convention may only be completed by mail and not online. Well, how about the convention agenda? Friday, August the 2nd from 2 until 3 p.m., an informational seminar. The Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired, presented by Reverend Timothy Snyder. 2:30 until 5 p.m., registration and check-in. 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m., self-advocacy seminar. Topic, the North Carolina Independent Living Program, describing its philosophy, core services, in the areas in North Carolina where the services are provided, presented by Dr. Ricky Scott. 5:45 to 7:45 p.m., spaghetti dinner. 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., Cyber Eyes representative Chris Faircloth, a demonstration and information seminar. And then 8 o'clock until midnight, meet and greet, the GMS Spirit Night with games, karaoke, trivia, and more. On Saturday, August the 3rd, get started off 6:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., a breakfast buffet, 9:30 a.m. to 11:15 a.m., organization and business meeting at the hotel ballroom, 11:30 a.m., transportation to Ash Avenue campus, departing the Ramada Inn, 12 o'clock noon until 2 p.m., lunch in the dining hall, provided by Grandson's Restaurant Catering. The lunch menu, meats, will be fried chicken, meatloaf, or ham, vegetables, green beans, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes with gravy, collard greens, desserts, assorted cakes and pies, beverages, tea, sweet and unsweet, lemonade, and water. From 1 until 1:45 p.m., there will be guest speaker, and that will be Mrs. Debbie Hippler from Arts Access. 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m., the talent showcase in the auditorium. 3:15 p.m., transportation back to the Ramada Inn Hotel. 5 o'clock to 7 p.m., Writer's Corner, hosted by Patricia C. Duncan. Books will be available for purchase. 8 o'clock p.m. until 1 a.m., the Golden Gala Prom at the Hotel Ballroom. Semi-formal dress requested. Note, all song requests may be submitted to Louise Short, Martha Delaroche, or Lisa Powell. on Sunday, August the 4th, 6:30 a.m. until 10 a.m., a breakfast buffet, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., a devotional service, and noon, checkout, unless a late checkout is prearranged with the front desk. Boy, is that going to be a fun time. Top tech tidbits. Well, we're going to have those for you now. As we won't be doing the spare times every week, please go check out the Top Tech Tidbits online to see all the information available. Or you can subscribe to have it come to you via email each week. The website is www.flying-blind.com/tidbits2016. They offer classified ads for various pieces of computer equipment, screen readers, braille displays, etc., as well as the tech tidbits. That being said, here's the most recent couple of issues and the titles and descriptions. WWDC 2019 Keynote Summary. Apple manages to generate great interest now for its new software versions, which will not be available until September. Here is a recap from the Tech Doctor. Apple Viz summary of announcements from WWDC. There are so many summaries, we may include more than necessary, and this one comes from Apple Viz. What's new for iPad? With iPad getting its own operating system, here's what we can look forward to. Accessibility enhancements with Apple devices. Apple Viz here focuses on those changes related to accessibility. An interview with Apple Global Accessibility Policy Director. And this interview took place at WWDC. Apple Viz May 2019 highlights, still with Apple, but before WWDC, there is a list of happenings from May 2019. Introduction to TPG's free accessibility testing tool webinar. The Pacello Group offers this seminar on Thursday, 20 June 2019 at 1600 GMT. You can register online. How to label application buttons on Android. This latest podcast, an LP podcast, is one of a series of Android trainings. Find and replace with the Braille Blaster. This is one of a series of Braille Blaster YouTube videos. And we have the Blind Bargains QAST 183. This episode came out just before the WWDC. ARIA, Eyes on Success, episode number 1923, focuses on ARIA, A-I-R-A. June Access World. The June 2019 issue of Access World includes Get Technology Help and more for free using ARA, A-I-R-A, and Be My Eyes. A book review, Getting Virtual Assistance with Your iPhone. Now You Can Just Be Friends with Your Friends by Judy Dixon. I Hear It, a review of MFI-supported hearing aids from the voiceover user's perspective. The accessibility of Weight Watchers website and iOS and Watch OS apps, and an interview with Kelly Egan, Customer Relations Manager for the Sprint Corporation. Updates to JAWS, Fusion, and Zoom Text. In the past, all the new features JAWS was going to get for the year came in the annual update. Now enhancements come year-round. The June update features enhanced support for accessing comments and revisions in Braille, support for reading math content in Kindle books, Notepad++, support for the PUTTY and secure CRT emulators, changed how JAWS works with the Access Bridge for Java applications, and many fixes. The JAWS upgrade is provided, as well as the Fusion and Zoom Text upgrades being presented at the website. Madden NFL 20 accessibility advancements. There are lots of accessibility enhancements to this popular game, and some of them actually benefit blind players. How to use Google Chrome's hidden reader mode. Chrome finally has a reader mode, enabling reading of ad-filled articles and posts with ease. For the moment, enabling it is a little geeky, but this process will presumably get easier in the future. New user group for BrailleNote. A modern user group for the BrailleNote family has been formed. To join, send a blank message to the group. NVDAcon seeks program ideas. This year's 2019 NVDAcon International will take place in August. Planners are looking for program ideas. Blind Bargains QS number 184 back to WWDC. They'll be including more WWDC retrospectives, including the 90-minute one from Blind Bargains. Parallel number 19, Apple's full accessibility plate. I don't know if this is the same interview with the Apple Director of Global Accessibility and Initiatives as other podcasts, or if it's a different one, but check it out. That Blind Tech Show talks Apple. Here's a summary from the Blind Abilities offshoot. Mac accessibility. Actually, it says Mac-cessibility. Roundtable, podcast number 177. This crew also covers the Apple happenings. Then traffic signals on Tech Talk. Audible traffic signals is the topic for Tech Talk. GMT, Tuesday, 18 June 2019 at 0000 hours. Coding Camp in Boston for all who can get there. Our Space Place Coding Camp is July 15 through 19, 2019 for blind youth ages 11 through 21. Access 360 podcast on Instagram. This podcast highlights the accessibility of the social networking site. A book discussion, format Word documents, Eyes on Success. Eyes on Success number 1924 features a discussion of this recent National Braille Press book we mentioned a few weeks ago. Now on to the calendar of events. The Wake Federation of the Blind meets regularly at the Community United Church of Christ, 814 Dixie Trail in Raleigh, on the second Saturday of each month from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Robert Parrish is the president and may be contacted at 919-616-1606 or via email at robertcparrish7@gmail.com. Please see Arts Access website for a listing of audio described performances, www.artsaccessinc.org. The Raleigh Mayor's Committee for Persons with Disabilities next meeting will be Thursday, June 20, from noon until 1 p.m. The organization meets in room 305 of the City Municipal Building, 222 West Harget Street, downtown Raleigh. Ricky Scott is the Mayor's Committee Chair. His contact information is telephone number 919-673-8300. And his email is rickyscott09@gmail.com. Finally, the Raleigh Wake Chapter of the North Carolina Council of the Blind meets regularly the second Thursday of each month from 7 until 8:30 p.m. at the Emmanuel Baptist Church located at 2110 Noble Road. Please contact Lawrence Carter at 919-856-0034 for more information about this group's schedule and activities. Just in case you might be hungry, here are some recipes that will bowl you over from the Chuck Wagon Gang. First is the one-pot chicken and rice. Ingredients, 1.5 pounds boneless, skinless chicken thighs or breasts cut into 1-inch pieces, 1/4 cup extra virgin olive oil, 1 medium yellow onion diced, 2 carrots peeled and shredded, 2 celery stalks chopped, 1 teaspoon minced garlic, 1.5 cups of rice rinsed. It can be jasmine or basmati, if available. 2 cups of low-sodium chicken broth, salt and pepper to taste, 1/2 cup of shredded or grated Parmesan cheese, and 1/3 cup of fresh chopped parsley. In a 3-quart pot, heat 1/4 cup of extra virgin olive oil over medium-high heat. Place chicken thigh pieces in the heated oil. Add plenty of salt and pepper. Sauté for 5 to 7 minutes or until cooked. Add diced onion and garlic to the chicken and sauté for another 3 minutes. Next, add the carrots and the celery to the chicken. Increase the heat to high and add the chicken broth. Then stir in the rinsed rice. Bring to a boil, then reduce the heat to low. Stir again, then cover and let set for simmer for 15 to 20 minutes or until the rice is cooked, stirring occasionally. Stir in the Parmesan cheese and fresh parsley. Add some more salt and pepper or seasonings, if you desire, and then enjoy. And top it off with this one, Irish cream bundt cake. Start off with 1 cup of chopped pecans, 1 18-1/4 ounce package of yellow cake mix, 1 3.4 ounce package of instant vanilla pudding mix, 4 eggs, 1 cup of water, 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 3/4 cup of a key ingredient called Irish cream liqueur, 1/2 cup of butter, 1/4 cup of water again, and 1 cup of white sugar, And then it says 1/4 cup of Irish cream liqueur. So some of those are multiples, but there's a reason, I'm certain. So how are we going to do with all that? Well, preheat your oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Grease and flour a 10-inch bundt pan. Sprinkle chopped nuts evenly over the bottom of the pan. In a large bowl, combine the cake mix and the pudding mix. Mix in the eggs, 1 cup of water, 1/2 cup of oil, and 3/4 cup of Irish cream liqueur. Beat that together for 5 minutes at high speed. Pour the batter over the nuts in the pan and bake in the preheated oven for 60 minutes or until the toothpick inserted into the cake comes out clean. Cool it for 10 minutes in the pan. Then invert it onto a serving dish. Prick the top and sides of the cake. Then spoon glaze over the top and brush it onto the sides of the cake and allow it to absorb the glaze. And repeat this till all the glaze is used up. But you say, what's the glaze? Well, to make the glaze, here's where the other things come in. In a saucepan, combine the butter, 1/4 cup of water, 1 cup of sugar. Bring it to a boil and continue boiling for 5 minutes, stirring constantly. Remove it from the heat and stir in 1/4 cup of the Irish cream. That's your glaze, and just lather it on and get ready to enjoy. We now have an article for you. Outlook Nebraska's Blind Golfer Clinic brings adaptive athletes to the golf course. The reporter went out to the group on the course. And if you want to watch his story and on how a teacher and athlete bonded on the course, you could do it by looking at https://www.facebook.com/whole series of numbers here now 10000012900/posts/27574035542739181 Maybe we'll stick with just what it says. From Omaha, Nebraska. Outlook Nebraska hosted its annual blind golf clinic Thursday afternoon at the Indian Creek Golf Course. The event paired seeing golf coaches with visually impaired golfers. The coaches worked with the kids on chipping, hitting, and putting, and then hit the links for 3 holes. The athletes ranged in sight from partially impaired to completely blind. You're not only having fun, but you're also gaining confidence and independence, especially for our teens. If they can go scuba diving or play golf, I can go to college or do a job interview, said Rachel Carver, Outlook Nebraska's communications coordinator. This is the 9th year Outlook Nebraska has put on the event. Outlook Nebraska does activities involving other sports besides golf. And how about Ellie DeLuca? She defied the odds as a legally blind pole vaulter. And this is from an article. Came out from WKBW, a station in Buffalo, New York. And it's about a person in Hamburg, New York. Hamburg senior Ellie DeLuca knows that it takes that to take to flight, she has to put her best foot forward. You just have to be confident. Know your steps, get your mark, and you'll do good, she said. Ellie first picked up on the sport as a freshman, which is not an easy thing to do. You have to have that ambition and that desire to do something that's exciting, she said, but also something that's a little scarier. It's even scarier when you can't see the bar. You are only as limited as you allow yourself to be, she said. If she, DeLucia, can do this, you can do anything, added Hamburg coach Chuck Mancabelli. Ellie is legally blind. She lost most of her sight after doctors discovered she had a brain tumor as a kid, but that hasn't stopped her. She's been overcoming obstacles on both on and off the track ever since. My coach showed us a video of a completely blind person pole vaulting. Her name was Charlotte Brown. That's when I told myself, yeah, you're going to do this. So how does Ellie know when to jump? She counts her step. After 5 of them, it's time for takeoff. You have to be confident in yourself and confident in your ability, no matter what other people are assuming, she said. Your background, no matter what, your ability level. She's figured out techniques to make sure she's doing it right, and she gets over, her mother Brooke said. We hold our breath and then clap really loud when it's over. If learning to pole vault wasn't impressive enough, Ellie is number 3 in her class. She plans to study special education with a focus on teaching visually impaired students. As hard as it is to see her go out in the world and go off to college, you know, 5.5 hours away and become independent, I have no worries, Brooke said. She's so driven and smart and motivated. I know that whatever she does, she's going to be successful at it. As the track season comes to an end and a new chapter begins, Ellie has some advice for whoever is willing to listen. Do not define a person by their background or their disability, she said. The only person who defines you is you. And our final item is an article titled, Different Ways to Show Paintings and Photos to Blind People, by Janet McConaughey of the Associated Press, out of New Orleans. As people at the American Alliance of Museums trade show passed their hands along the raised figures and touchable versions of a Vietnam War photograph, small metal sensors touched off recordings to explain whose picture they were touching and what had happened to him. At a nearby booth was a flat reproduction of a Van Gogh self-portrait with slightly raised, slicker areas to show both outlines and how brushstrokes swept or swirled within those outlines. Museums nationwide are working to make their collections more accessible for people with disabilities, said Elizabeth Merritt, Vice President for Strategic Foresight for the Alliance, which represents museums of all sorts, from tiny local history museums to huge zoos. Hours when lights and noise levels are kept low for people on the autism spectrum are another example of inclusiveness, she said, as well as our websites and smartphone apps designed to work with screen readers for the blind. Not all touchable art is high-tech. The Singapore Art Museum commissioned 3 artists to make touchable adaptations of their own works and plans more. But tech has a big role. 3D PhotoWorks of Chatham, New York was created by a photographer named John Olson to make his work and other two-dimensional art accessible items accessible to the blind and the visually handicapped. The company has digital artists carve out contours for scanned art. After the models are created, small metal sensors are added to trigger narrations about the work and the figures within which they are set. I've never seen anything like that, where it integrates touch and sound, said Sophie Trist, 22, who has been blind since birth. Her favorite among 3 artworks and a map was Romar Berdan's collage, 3 folk musicians, showing 2 guitarists and a banjo player. Without audio, she said, I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference between a guitar and a banjo, whereas if it were only the sound, it wouldn't be the full picture either. She appreciated hearing the banjo and learning that it was invented by enslaved Africans. Trist, a resident of suburban Mandeville, Louisiana, and a rising senior at Loyola University of New Orleans, was among several members of the National Federation for the Blind with Olson, who has partnered with the Federation for about a decade. Other high-tech adaptations noted by the Alliance are 3D models made by the Brooklyn Museum for the sensory tours it has held for years for blind or partially sighted patrons. The museum offers tours with headsets to amplify the guide's comments, as well as tours in American Sign Language. In Claremont, California, at the Raymond M. Alf Museum of Paleontology, describes on its website as the only accredited U.S. museum on a high school campus, students can scan fossils and create models of them. The Louvre commissioned a small, low-relief models of parts of its exterior for exhibits about the museum's own 8th-century history, said Philippe Moreau of Tactile Studios Canada office, which did the work. The studio's many displays diagonally across from Olson's at the AAM Expo included one such model, the Van Gogh reproduction, a copy of a bust by French artist Jean-Baptiste Carpel, and from work from the Louvre of Abu Dhabi, a line drawing taken from a painting in sacred Hindu text. It shows the buffalo demon Mahishura fighting the many-armed goddess Durga. The outlines are in slick, slightly raised plastic, with text and braille labels including sword and shield, arrows, and leaping lion, the animal on which Durga is riding. Though created to give blind and visually impaired people a look at flat art, the works also offered a new view to the sighted. Court Myers, a technical consultant for the American Indian Cultural Museum in Oklahoma City, ran his fingers across a set of brushstrokes in the Tactile Studios Van Gogh. Wow, he said. You go up to his starry night and you want to feel what those squirrels look like. He was also blown away by the tank, a 4-foot-wide blow-up of Olson's famous photograph of wounded Marines getting emergency treatment on top of a tank during the Tet Offensive in February 1968. The censor for a Marine shown holding a wounded man involved an interview in which he explained why he had a toy squid in his helmet band. The combination of hearing, touch, and sight changed the sensation itself, Myers said. For a second there, it felt squiddy.